Welcome to Reimagined. I'm your host, Dr. Alex Swenson-Ridley, the founder of Emergent Women Coaching and a woman on a mission to help other heart-centered women leaders and entrepreneurs alter their experience of business and life from one of sacrifice and burnout to unadulterated joy and freedom. This is the show that gives you the inspiration and permission to break all the rules. We help you tap into your intuition, your zone of genius, and creativity to give you the confidence and clarity to do things differently. And we give you the tools and stories that will inspire you to rejuvenate your spirit, innovate how you lead and do business, strengthen your core identity, and connect deeply to yourself so that you emerge as the next powerful version of you. Ready to dive in? Let's go. Hello, welcome back to the show. Today I am joined by a woman I have come to know quite well over the past year or year and a half or so. Her name is Kara Zebrowski. She is 60, though she doesn't look it, and a wellness coach, retreat leader, educator, certified yoga instructor, and overcomer. She was born into a cult in rural East Texas, broke free at age 17, reinvented herself in her early 40s, and fought depression at 45. She's dedicated over 23 years to serving women, helping them break free from societal norms and grow in confidence, self-worth, and healthy boundaries. She inspires them to live authentically and with passion, meaning, and purpose. In her spare time, she travels, spends time with her family, enjoys fun adventures, plays pickleball, line dances, loves eating delicious, nutritious food, and enjoys wine. So, Kara, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That's me.
That's you. I have to say, even though I've known you a while, I just learned some new things.
I know that cult thing is kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah, that I missed that somehow.
Nothing that just comes up in everyday conversation.
No, it's not. And yet you are not the first person I've met in who's has a history of being in a cult. So
it's kind of crazy. Actually, there's a lot of us there because there's a lot of different cults, sadly.
Yeah. We can talk about whatever aspect of your story you want to, but I might just hone in on this one for a moment because I think a lot of us, you know, I recently read the book, The Science of Stuck, and she actually talks about being in a fundamentalist cult. Like she graduated from Duke and just couldn't handle adulting in life and ended up in a cult. And one of my best friends has recently been sharing publicly about her experience in a cult and her escape, which it was literally an escape. Like she had to run away to Alaska in order to get free of kind of thing. And
yeah.
So, and I think like, you know, we get pulled into these societal whatevers or and you were born into it. So that
I was born into it. My husband was born into it. My parents met at what I now call the cult college, but it was a college for the church. And basically, you know, you just come together at that college. Every man becomes a minister. Every woman becomes a wife of a minister. So that's where they met. You know, it's crazy because like at the age that my parents came into their adulthood and in, you know, through their childhood, things were very difficult. People were going, you know, going through World War II and stuff like that. So it was very ripe for people looking for answers and help, and they were scared. So, yeah. You know, it was very ripe for that situation.
Yeah. So I'm curious, like, what was the process of getting free of that, especially if both you and your husband came from that background?
Yeah. So I grew up in a rural town in East Texas. And again, I call it the compound, although it was a college campus because my father became the dean of students at that college at a very early age. So that's where I grew up, you know, gated, people couldn't get in and out. You were not to be out of the world and that kind of thing. So anyway, that was my life until eighth grade. And then between my eighth and ninth grade year, they actually shut that college campus down due to financial issues. And they moved a lot of us out to Los Angeles area, which is where my parents met and went to college because that's where the original college existed. And you want to talk about crazy, crazy change, living in a town in a compound and moving to Los Angeles. You can't be quite as sheltered when you move to Los Angeles. There's people everywhere.
Yeah.
So I lived there for a year, and then my father ended up getting moved to Colorado for a little while. But it was the beginning of my eyes opening, you know, to be a little bit more in the world, if you will, or whatever. And I just really started questioning a lot of things, and something just didn't feel right in my spirit. And so at probably somewhere around 16 years old, I told my parents I didn't want to be a part of it anymore. And of course, they said, as long as you live in this house, you will be a part of it. Yeah. So being 60 years old, I went to summer school in high school every summer because I was pretty miserable. And it's very weird because back then summer school was not a big thing. And so, but I just wanted it out, and it's the only way I could see out. I wanted out as quickly as I could. So I went to summer school every summer, graduated when I was 16, went right into a travel trade program, graduated at 17 and a half. And I literally packed up my car and moved myself to California by myself. When I was 17 and a half, got a job in downtown LA in the Arco Towers at 17 and a half in the travel business. So once I got away from home,
yeah,
I just quit going, and for a while didn't tell my parents. And I had been connected with my husband. This is crazy. This is crazy, people. I don't recommend it. I met my husband when I was just turning 14, and he was 4 years older than I am. So I met him in California originally. So he lived in California, hence why I wanted to move to California.
Gotcha. Okay.
But anyway, we decided together and we eventually got married that we were just not going to be a part of it. So it's not like we had to run away to Alaska to get out of it, but it was not a comfortable situation. Our families were not happy about it and all that. I will say that since then, and because this is a long time ago now, slowly but surely, all my family members left, and the church eventually did completely break apart.
Okay. Wow. That's such a, I'm always inspired by just how grounded you have to be in like your beliefs and all that to go against something like your family and everything you've ever known and say like, this is not for me.
Yeah. And I'm one of five siblings. So I'm the second. My older sister, we kind of follow like the way siblings go. She was more right. The like toed the line, did the right thing. I was more of the fiery one that was willing to buck the system and all of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it served me well in getting out of there. And I say in my bio, right, I'm an overcomer, because that's a lot to overcome. And it's an overcoming process continually, because as I've gotten older, I've learned how many things there are still inside of me that I have to work to fight the belief system and things about what I was taught growing up.
Yeah, because it can be so ingrained, and a lot of times
it's very ingrained.
We don't even realize it. So
correct. And yet it affects more than you realize that it affects in your life as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we have early childhood upbringing and kind of this major shift, and, you know, who you've grown into and evolved into is, I think you're pretty awesome, but, you know, leading retreats around, you've done international retreats now and really focusing on this stage of midlife. So I'm curious, like, what brought you to this stage of your journey? Because so many women who are listening to this relate.
Yeah. So as I said, I started working downtown LA when I was 17 and a half in Arco Towers. And I worked in the travel and meeting planning field. Mm-hmm. And so I loved that job. I thought that's what I would do forever. But the internet came into being. And mm-hmm. I learned that that probably was not going to be a business that would survive. And so I had to literally reinvent myself in my late 30s, early 40s, figure out what I was going to do with my life. And I moved into fitness at that point. So I became a personal trainer, started teaching classes. Eventually, in my mid-40s, I did get into yoga. But, you know, as my life evolved and changed, I worked as I got into my 40s. I found most of my clientele was in their 40s or 50s, a bit ahead of me. And when you are a personal trainer, you're also very much like a therapist because everyone comes in and talks to you. And I'm just that kind of a person that's a natural encourager or whatever. So the evolution is that I eventually moved into wellness coaching. And I always wanted to do retreats, but my life was just so busy. And I was able to design a couple of years ago to finally bringing my worlds together of travel and meeting planning and my wellness coaching. And I absolutely love running retreats for women because it's so needed. I mean, I love being a coach for midlife women too, because there's just so much that happens in midlife that we can use support around. There's so many changes and transitions. And I will tell you, one of the things that like really inspired me to do this is when I was a bit younger, I had this misconception that when the kids empty nested, that life was just going to get easier. Like the 40s and the 50s were going to be so much easier, and it's not easy. So, being 60, I've lived a lot, gone through menopause, gone through depression, like she said in the bio, empty nested. My husband's been out of work, and I became the full support of our home, which I never plan to do. So there's been so many transitions, and I want to help people. I want to help people with what I've learned. You know, I'm a survivor, and yeah. I believe this can be a really exciting time of life, but we have to sometimes learn some new tools.
Yes. You know? Yeah. And I think I was talking with someone, I don't remember if it was on a podcast or somewhere else, you know, part of what makes this time period of life so challenging is like we've gone from family and busy and like all this stuff and having our people around us to then like they're all gone and yet we're alone because like friendships and what all that means and looks like has changed. And so there's this lack of connection, which is why I love the retreat part of, you know, all of it's good, but that's totally a huge missing piece.
And you know, I think that for whatever reason, I naturally kind of had a sense that I needed to develop a support system as my daughter got older. And so when she was in the late years of high school, I started a cooking light group in my community. And I started, I became involved in a bunco group. And because my world was very, I do have an only child. My world was her. Revolved around her, you know, right. I mean, I did work too, part-time, but I knew I was going to need a support system because my husband, I'm an extrovert, surprise, my husband, an introvert, not a big talker. And my daughter talked a lot. So we talked a lot and I'm like, what am I going to do when I don't have her anymore? You know? And it's not that I didn't have friends, but I knew I was going to need a support system. And so I consciously created a support system. So I'm very much about tribe and support system, which is why I love another thing that I do, which is women's wellness circles. I bring women together on a weekly basis in small groups of 5 to 7 that live life together. Like yeah. we do in life. And it is so rewarding and so needed. So yeah, we need help.
We do. So what are the, going back to this idea of retreat connection, like all these things that most of us are missing.
Yeah.
Also be a lot to say like, yeah, I'm going to go on a retreat for myself and invest in this and take time for that. Cause you know, we're all living busy life and all those things. So the women who have made it happen, because I know you've done a few of these now and like fun places like Cabo and, you know, things that I yeah. want on, like what are some of the things that they get out of prioritizing that experience for themselves? Let's go with that.
So I've been doing it now since summer of 2022. Yeah. So we're coming up on 2 years and I have done quite a few all over the place. So my retreats are set up such that I do teach yoga. I do meditation. I have workshops every day that are designed specifically for women in the midlife and beyond years. you know, different topics for each retreat. And now what I've started doing is bringing in other workshop leaders to the retreat so that I have a whole plethora of knowledge and experience to share with them. So I love the planning part. I love finding the venues. But anyway, once they get there, this is what they've got. And then everywhere we go, I design it based on where we're going and we do fun things. So just for instance, we're going to Savannah in May. And so besides that standard stuff, we are doing the first full morning we're there, we're doing a historical walking tour of Savannah that's going to be specifically designed that we learn about women that shape Savannah history. So we're doing that. And then one evening, we're doing one of those big paddle boat dinner cruise things.
Yeah.
And there's Tybee Island, like 15 minutes from the house where we're staying, so people can do the beach. We're doing a craft that has to do with like shells and stuff like that. So every retreat is very much designed to the place that you're going. But one thing that I've been able to create at my retreats, which I'm so grateful for, and is that somehow me and the environment I create, people open up very quickly. So when we come together on the first night and we're kind of sharing a little bit about who we are in our stories, we do a ceremony that's called a letting go ceremony. But every woman kind of just shares a bit about her life. And if people will open up, then the next person will open up and the next person will open up. And so like people bond very quickly and become friends very quickly. And I mean, I literally, you know, the valuations I get at the end are, you know, life changing, like I've made friends for life. And like, I'd never thought about joy in that way, you know, because we focused on joy or whatever. So it's more impactful than you can imagine that it even could be.
Yeah. There's so much power. And like, retreats is something in my dreams right now, but I used to help lead a leadership retreat in chiropractic school where we'd go up and it was just a 2-day thing. Like we'd just stay one night and, you know, I was one of the people that would present and create breakouts and all that, but just like that connection and community. I mean, we were all bonded and it was generally the same people who would come and, you know, a few new ones we did them twice a year, but like those were our people. And I've recently reconnected with some of them after like 15 years and it's still, they are my people.
Right.
So that is such a powerful thing that, you know, I think for that alone.
Well, and you know, so what's starting to happen here is, I mean, I love bringing new women in and I'm going to keep running these retreats. So I always want to be bringing women into my world, but my alumni base is growing massively. And so like on this, so the Cabo, again, I've been doing this 2 years. In Cabo, I had a woman there that's been on 3 retreats. And when she left the retreat, she booked her 4th retreat in Sedona this fall. Okay. So people are kind of like, I want more of this.
It's amazing. Fun. Mm-hmm. And so you're bringing this like huge needed thing to the stage of midlife. And I know you also do a lot with hormones. We can actually go into this conversation if we want to, or, you know, focusing on what is happening there. Cause we have like depression and we have, you know, feeling like, I don't know who the heck this body is and it's not mine. And who am I? And questioning many things about life. I've worked with enough women in that stage, and I guess I'm almost 40, so I'm getting to be that one.
Yeah.
As well. Now someone told me, oh, you're in midlife. That starts at 35. I'm like, nope, I don't believe you.
You know, so when you talk about the hormones and that transition that every woman gonna have to face, I'm not a hormone specialist or anything, but what I will say is, like, I'm a wellness coach and I've worked with nutrition and stuff like that a lot. However, I will just say, and I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with this, is that people in the regular Western medical field, there's just a lot more out there that I think women should consider exploring as they start into these issues that we deal with when we go through perimenopause, menopause, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like I'm more tend to the holistic, natural approach as much as possible. I'm not against Western medicine in any way, but I just think that if you find yourself a good homeopathic, natural doctor, functional medicine doctor, stuff like that, they can be very helpful when you're going through that transition. Because I can't tell you, and I'm sure you've been told this as well, there's so many women that get that have male doctors, just regular traditional doctors, and I'm sorry, a lot of them don't understand.
No. Well, how could they? They're not women. And something I haven't shared this in a while on the podcast because I haven't talked about health stuff so much, but I didn't realize I learned this doing research for the dissertation I never wrote that women weren't required to be part of medical research until 1991. And even now, it's not like, and so they weren't included. So most of our health information is based on men. And like, Western doctors don't know anything about hormones. Like, I've interviewed so many MDs who are like, yeah, I had to quit my job and like go figure this thing out when I was going through menopause because we didn't learn this in school. And so we tend to turn to them and it's just not where the answers are.
Well, you know, and so many women have been led to believe when they're, you know, when they're starting to go through this transition, they may not even know they're starting to go through the transition. They just think they're going crazy. You know, they're getting angry really easy all of a sudden, or, you know, their sleep gets messed up and they don't know why.
Yeah, and they put on weight, can't get it off. Like,
start putting on weight. And then people just, Western medicine just starts throwing drugs at you. And there can be other answers besides that. So I just would encourage women to explore and open up those possibilities.
Yeah. And a great way to explore, you know, I think another thing that is shifting, but that has been missing is that lack of connection, which I'm just going to bring up. We're talking about connection this way. You know, because you feel very alone. Like, I learned doing a lot of work more in the hormonal space over the past couple of years until I shifted gears some is, you know, women would say like, oh, I thought it was just me. It's everybody. And when we can, there's so much power in bonding and connecting on a kind of deep level as you go through this, because on the other side, and I think you probably found, I interviewed someone who talked about like the archetypes of women that we go through. And on the other side of menopause is wisdom. Like, you are the wise woman you are. And there's so much you can create and do. And like, in many ways, I'm excited about this, the next decade of my life, because I'm looking forward to that. But that's not what's talked about in mainstream culture. It's that, my life is over and, you know.
Yes.
I'm never going to be the same. So.
And, you know, you mentioned too, from my bio, like I went through a pretty major depression at age 45. And again, being 60, so we're talking 15 years ago, that was another thing that just wasn't really talked about. And I felt very alone and I didn't open up to people. Well, honest to God, I didn't even know what it was when I started going through it. I just found myself wanting to retreat, want to stay inside, not be out, not be around people. I didn't feel, you know, I just didn't feel good. And finally, I mean, I did go to my primary at some point and I explained to her what I was going through. And she's like, honey, I think you might be depressed. And I was like, so she had me take this little test and she's like, yep. So she said I had two options. She could give me drugs. And I actually, at that point, I wasn't so much on the natural track that I am now. And so I tried whatever she gave me and it honestly sent me into horrific tailspin and made me even worse. Wow. So after about 4 weeks, I got off of that. And I thought, I got to find another way. Well, because so her other thing was that maybe you want to see like a therapist or a counselor or something like that, right? Yeah. So I found a therapist counselor and I worked with her for about a year and was able to pull out of that. But this is another thing that I want to tell women that experience depression. Nobody can fix it for you. No one can fix it for you. And so you have got to do everything within your power to pull yourself out. Get help. Absolutely 100% get help. But there's just really not much other people can do for you. You have got to find the gumption within you to pull yourself, to get yourself to the other side. Yeah. And it's not an easy process. No. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it, it's hard to do when you're in this space. And I haven't really talked about this, like going through burnout. I would argue that I've been depressed a good bit of, you know, just based on what you were explaining. Like there's a correlation there. And with anxiety, I've definitely dealt with that in my adult life as an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. all those things. But a big part of my healing process was allowing myself to finally take the time and actually look within, and not from a place, you know, I say this with a little bit of caution. We'll just go with that. Like okay. it can also be, you know, I don't want anyone to wallow or to get like sucked into like the super negative whatever's going on, but some level of self-care, I think, is what I'm getting at.
Starts oh, very out. Much. And I mean, I'm going to tell you what exacerbates depression a lot of times is because we aren't doing proper yeah. self-care. Yeah. And again, let's go back to my cult background. Everything in my teachings in my life basically said, be seen and not heard. Don't speak out. Don't use your voice. Women are to get married and serve their families, their communities, and their churches. And so a woman's needs, oh my God, I just think about my mother and just her life. And it just kind of makes me sad because like, what did she ever get to do for herself? And that was like, once I came to realization, I'm like, that is not going to be me. But in the raising of the children and all and working like most of us all are doing now, it's hard to find time for self-care. So this is what I'll just say too. First of all, do as much as you can on a daily basis, be it take a bath, you know, read some, listen to music while just laying down, resting, whatever it is. But give yourself a gift occasionally of doing something like a retreat. You know, yeah. people get hung up on the money a little bit, but holy crap, it is worth every penny. I have always asked, and this is one of my evaluation questions, is do you feel that you got the value for what you paid? 100%. 100%.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just taking that leap of faith, right? And we have to start somewhere.
Yeah, to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it can be small. I think I started with like 1 minute of focusing on something that wasn't all of my problems.
Yes.
Tip of my nose. But yes. Learning to practice, you know, kind of getting out of your head, which is something I talk about quite a bit because we all need a break from what's going yeah. on in our ears.
Yeah. So. You know, so one of the things that I have a very good morning routine, and this started about 6 years ago. And I think morning routines can be very, very valuable because I used to be the kind of type A personality. So I'm always going and doing and all that. And I like to sleep, and my sleep for a lot of years was really messed up. I've worked with cognitive sleep therapist.
Okay.
Got my sleep fixed, which was amazing. That was about 6 years ago. But in that process, I would get up in the morning and I would set that alarm for as late as I could. And then I'd rush around and it would just be crazy and chaotic. So when I started working with him, we changed a lot of things about my life. And one of the things that I did was I started getting up 2 hours early of like actually when I started needing to work. That's when I started meditation as a regular practice. I read the paper. I have my breakfast in a calm manner and blah, 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 blah. All yeah. very helpful. But one of the things that I do now too is at lunchtime, I make myself for about 15 minutes sit and eat my lunch so I won't eat it quickly. I don't turn on music because I love having music on. No music. I don't read anything. I just eat in quiet. I make myself do that for 15 minutes, just kind of as a yeah. group in the middle of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's key. And that like, there's so many ways that you can start to do this, but you know, most of us are eating on the run. I do it. Yeah. Breakfast is sitting here while we're recording this because I didn't like get started early enough with my house full of people. And today was like not a normal day in my schedule. So if you can find, and like, maybe it's just one meal, maybe it's just a snack. Maybe it's that you like go sit in your car for 2 minutes in between whatever in your busy day, like just something to break it up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important, especially if you are one of the more driven type of personalities and always go and busy and all that, to force that slow down, to force that stop. And yeah. have you ever, this is just kind of a coaching thing. Do you ever habit stacking? Have you ever heard of
it? I've heard of it. I haven't ever really coached on it, or like I'm familiar with it. But
okay. Yeah. So I believe I'm going to say this correctly. I believe it originated with James Clear's book Atomic Habits.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong on that. He may have taken that from somebody else, but it's talked about in the book for sure. And I love habit stacking, because when you're trying to implement something new in your life, you find something that you do every single day that is already a part of your life. And then when you want to start that new habit, skill, or whatever, you just stack it right on the other. So whenever I brush my teeth, I automatically do this next. So one of my habit stacking things is whenever I brush my teeth, I do it in a little bit of a wall sit with my pelvis tucked in, my abs in, and my pelvic floor tightened to keep my Kegels tight, because this is a problem for women when they get in their 50s and 60s. Keep it real here, ladies.
And it's not where I was expecting you to go, but I love it. And what I love about that is, like, we don't have to make it complicated, right? Because one of the things that we always talk about is like, oh, I don't have time. Like, if you have time to brush your teeth, you have time to work on your core and your Kegel strength for 2 minutes. Like, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Throw you off there a little bit.
I love it. That is fantastic. Okay. So I feel like we've gone in a lot of different directions. Is there anything that we've missed that is just like, I know women in midlife is like your passion and where you're at. So is there anything specific to that type A driven personality that we haven't talked about that would be helpful before we wrap up?
Okay. This is for type A, but this is for every woman, really. I find probably one of the very top things that women need help with is boundary setting.
Yes. Oh, this is a good one. I could do like 5 podcast episodes on this, but let's
totally could
do give me what you got.
Yeah, no, this is so interesting in the process of all my studying and learning and now sharing, is that if you are upset about something, if you are feeling resentment or holding grudges, if you stop and analyze it and get to the root of it, it often begins because you did not set boundaries that you needed to set. And that was massive for me when I learned that, because once you learn that, you have to take responsibility for it, right? Yeah. And another thing in the boundary realm that I love so much, and I don't know if it was Brené Brown. I love her so much. I read so much of her stuff. I teach her work, but it might not be hers. Instead of people pleasing, which a lot of us have an issue with, women in particular, if you think of it as people misleading, you are misleading people instead of people pleasing. You are leading them to believe you have time to do something you can't do. Yeah. You're leading them to believe you agree with them when you don't. Ooh, ouch.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good way to look at it. I know I've done a lot of work with women I've worked with over the years of like, developing a relationship with the word no.
Yes. Yeah. Like, that goes in the whole boundary thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it, you know, it can feel super uncomfortable to do some of these things. But the reality is, I think part of the stress behind it, and I used to do this in my chiropractic practice. It's like, oh, I, you know, someone called and they can't make it by the time we close. Can you see them at like 6 and we close at 5:30? And I would be like, okay. Or like, can you come in on Saturday? I'm dying. Like, I didn't have strong boundaries with that. And so it would feel, and then I would feel more stressed out and like people were walking all over me. I'd feel like a bad mom because I was
yes.
Like this whole compounded thing that I love that term that you use. It has to do with us misleading people because we think we're, you know, being nice and that's what we're supposed to do. But like it puts us out of integrity with ourselves and with everybody else.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. So boundaries is huge. And then one of the other topics I love teaching on, there's 2 other topics that are my favorite topics to teach on: boundary setting, intuition, listening to your intuition and your inner wisdom, massive. And I love talking about joy, like really learning to recognize joy in your life, because most people pass many joyful moments in a day. They just pass them by, not recognizing them for what they are. So, yeah,
Yeah.
That's really great. And that gets into a lot of the work that I've done recently of, you know, learning more about the heart, which is actually this fascinating thing that actually has four ways that it communicates and has its own like neural stuff, and your heart responds to emotions without your brain having any impact on it. It's very cool. But like joy, appreciation, like these are the ways that you access that. And we all have it each day. It's just a matter of what you're focusing on.
Totally. Yeah. We're just, again, we get so busy, these things happen. And like for a fleeting second, maybe whatever, but you don't even recognize it for what it is. And so when you start to become really aware and you recognize it for joy, then stop and savor it for a moment. Just stop and savor it. Like, oh God, like recently my little grandsons were over spending the night and the 2-year-old woke up way earlier than I would have liked. And he crawled in bed with me and he just lay in there snuggling with me. And oh man, I'm just like, okay, I'd rather not be awake right now, but I'm going to eat every second of this up. This is major joy in my life. You know? So again, recognizing, savoring, not pushing away, not rushing through them, let them expand, you know?
Yeah. Ah,
I could go on and on.
You're giving me chills just talking about it. And rather than focusing on the busy and the to-dos, it's like, what amazing things have happened today.
Exactly.
Like, acknowledge them.
Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, well, so if people want to find me.
Yeah, I was about to say, how do we find you?
My company name, very easy to remember, Reshape Midlife. If you want to reshape midlife. So that's my website. And I am on Instagram. I do have a private Facebook group called Empowering Women During Midlife and Beyond. So people are welcome to join that. It's a private group. But yeah, so I have online courses with coaching. I have the wellness circles, which are amazing. I run the retreats. So fun. And I have 2 left this year that are available, Colorado in August and Sedona, Arizona in October.
Love it. Sedona is, well, and I used to live in Colorado too. I know you're in Colorado Springs where I lived for 4 years when I went to undergrad there. But Sedona is one of those places that just like, there's energetic things.
Yeah, they're very cool.
Some Christians get put off by it, but I find a lot of healing with nature.
It's got energy centers. Energy is energy.
Energy is energy. We are energy.
We are energy. I know. It's a very cool place. I went on a girlfriend trip last May and loved it so much that I was like, I got to bring a retreat group back here. So yeah, I'm excited about it.
Very cool. Okay. Thank you for coming on and sharing your journey and your wisdom and your experience and all of those things. And I've really enjoyed having you in it.
You're welcome.
Great capacity from how we normally connect.
Yeah. It was nice to spend time with you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for tuning into the show. I have a small request. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This is a huge help to us on our quest to reach even more women around the world. Finally, if you're searching for a free community of women on a similar journey to you, I'd like to invite you to join me inside the free Rise community, hosted off of social media on Circle. Here you'll find connection with other women in a safe and loving space, a weekly book club, live events designed to deepen your inner work journey, and additional resources to support your growth. Visit www.jointherise.co or simply click on the link in the show notes to join me. Until next time, remember to honor and love yourself in each moment. Embrace the challenges life throws at you and continue rising.